The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jim Cronin from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next hour, I shall bring you from the Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. Now, this next article, Drama in Real Life from Reader's Digest, kind of strikes home a little bit. I'm a former military, Marine Corps military pilot, and this is kind of an interesting article. I remember reading about this. I have no idea how to fly this plane. A passenger gets an emergency flying lesson when a pilot passes out 10,000 feet above the ocean. The selfie Darren Harrison had just taken shows him dressed casually in white shorts and a T-shirt, with his bare feet propped up on a plush gray leather seat. He is the lone passenger in the roomy six-seat cabin of a single-engine Cessna 208 turboprop, some 12,000 feet above the Atlantic off the east coast of Florida. He sends a photo to his wife, Brittany Harrison, who is 6 months pregnant with their first child. Harrison, a 39-year-old flooring sales executive, is returning to his home in Lakeland, Florida, after taking part in an offshore deep-sea fishing tournament in Marsh Harbor, Bahamas. It's around noon. The early May weather is perfect for and the views, brilliant blue skies and crystalline ocean below, are drop-dead beautiful. The plane is being flown by Ken Allen, a 64-year-old veteran pilot. To Allen's right in the co-pilot seat is his friend Russ Frank, 70. Frank's no pilot, but it does enjoy going along for the ride. Some 45 minutes into their scheduled 75-minute flight to Treasure Coast International Airport in Fort Pierce, Florida, air traffic controllers in Miami clear Allen to begin his approach to Fort Pierce, which is now some 70 miles to the west. They instruct him to descend to 10,000 feet. This must have been a pressurized aircraft. November 333, Lima Delta, Roger, Miami Center, says Allen, using the plane's call sign. A few minutes later, as Allen continues his descent, the right side of his head starts pounding. Boom, 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 every time his heart beats. Allen feels as if his head is going to be hit with a hammer. What the heck, Allen wonders as he winces in pain. Out of his right eye, he begins seeing bright blue lights flashing. Guys, I don't feel good, he tells Harrison and Frank. The pain is severe. The pounding intensifies. His voice is shaking. He says everything is fuzzy. Harrison answers immediately. What does that mean? I don't know. My head is killing me. I don't. Suddenly stops talking. And Harrison watches him slump back into the seat. The plane is now careening toward the sea without a pilot. Harrison manages to undo his seatbelt and, fighting G-forces that want to pin him back to his seat, stumbles a few feet to Allen. He and Frank try to rouse Allen with no response. The pilot is unconscious, and the plane is out of control, plummeting in a deep, dizzying 340-mile-per-hour dive to the ocean below. Instead of blue sky, the two men see white caps on waves below that are getting bigger and bigger as the plane continues to drop to 9,000, then 8,000, then 7,000 feet. The Cessna's caravan's automatic emergency alarms are wailing. Though he's never taken a flying lesson, Harrison has flown enough on small planes and observed enough pilots to know that he has to pull back on the plane's yoke to bring the plane's nose up. But he has to do it slowly, or the motor could stall, or the wings could be ripped off. Squatting behind Allen's seat, he reaches over the unconscious pilot and grabs the yoke while Frank grabs the co-pilot's yoke. As the plane falls, both Harrison and Frank struggle to level off the plane, which has dropped nearly 4,000 feet in 30 seconds. Wow. Soon the plane's nose levels off and turns up before climbing back to 9,000 feet. Can you hold this steady? Harrison asks Frank while holding the co-pilot choke. Frank helps Harrison unbuckle Allen's seatbelt, and Harrison pulls him off the seat and gently lays the unconscious pilot on the floor of the cabin. Harrison quickly climbs into the pilot's seat and takes stock of the situation. First and foremost, they are alive, but they are a long way from home, and neither man has ever flown a plane before. Air traffic controller Chip Flores has been on duty in the control tower at Fort Pierce's Treasure Coast International Airport since 7 a.m. Because the winds have recently picked up, many of the student pilots who would normally be flying have been grounded, and Flores is thankful for the low traffic. The quiet is interrupted when Flores gets a call on his headset. It's Harrison. Traffic in 333 Lima Delta, come in, he says, using the plane's call sign the way he'd heard Allen say it. Flores responds, Carafon 333, Lima Delta, Fort Peace Tower. I've got a serious situation here, said Harrison. My pilot has gone incoherent. I have no idea how to fly the airplane. Flores jumps from his seat and hits a button on the console that broadcasts the radio transmission through the control tower's loudspeakers. Alerted to an emergency, everyone in the tower drops what they are doing and listens to the call. Flores asked Karen, "What's your position?" "I have no idea. I see the coast of Florida in front of me, and I have no idea." Flores takes a deep breath. What he doesn't know is that somehow the Cessna's display screen have gone blank. Harrison must have hit a switch that turned him off when he tugged Alan from his seat. The only instruments that are still operational are the altimeter, a basing compass, and the attitude indicator, which shows the plane is level. By the way, in case you're not familiar with the inside of an airplane, the attitude indicator is basically a ball that's set in a gyroscope, and it has a bar across it, and you can always tell how the plane is turning or going nose up or nose down by the way that ball moves. What Flores does know is he may lose radio contact with Harrison at any minute because the plane is flying south and will soon be beyond the airport's radio transmission limits. Flores is also concerned about those first words Harrison said, "I have no idea how to fly the airplane." Harrison Flores decides needs a quick flying lesson. He radios Harrison and comms and tell him, "Try to hold the wings level and see if you can start descending for me. Push forward on the controls and descend at a very slow rate." Flores and the entire tower team await Harrison's response. "Yeah, we are descending right now at 550 meters a minute. What heading do I need to be at?" Flores never gets the chance to tell him. He's lost contact with the plane as it flies out of the airport's radio transmission zone. Flores radios Harrison. "This is Fort Pierce Tower. Are you on the frequency?" No answer. Inside November 333 Lima Delta, Harrison Franks realize they have lost contact with the tower. Flores' voice is replaced by static, then nothing. Once again, Harrison and Frank are on their own. While Harrison holds the plane steady, Frank tries to figure out where they are, and if they are even flying in the right direction. Frank had ceded control of the plane to the younger Harrison under the mistaken belief that he may have had some flight simulator experience because he seemed so focused. Frank peers out his window and says, "Look, there's the coast over there." He checks his compass to double-check his bearing. "We need to go west to get to the airport." Harrison nods and makes a gradual turn toward the coast. Frank instinctively reaches down to where Ken Allen is lying on the floor and taps his feet. The stricken pilot moves ever so slightly, and Frank whispers, "Hang in there, King. Hang in there, my friend." As the plane flies into Palm Beach International Airport airspace, air traffic controllers there take over from Flores. Their main mission, find one to teach a passenger who has never flown before how to land an airplane. Greg Batani, air traffic control specialist at the Palm Beach Airport, pages Robert Morgan, who is sitting outside reading a book on his break. Morgan, an experienced air traffic controller and flight instructor, hears the page. "Morgan, come to the radar room immediately." He slips on his shoes and rushes inside. The airport's operation manager, Mark Saviglia, meets him at the door and quickly briefs him. "We have a passenger flying a plane, a Cessna 208. The pilot is unconscious. Can you help land this plane?" Morgan's eyes widen and he thinks, "Has this really happened? This sounds like a movie." Morgan sits down at a radar scope at the darkened radar room and thinks, "What am I going to tell this guy?" Gathering his nerves, he radios Harrison, who is now about 20 miles to the south and flying west toward the Florida coastline. "This is 322 Palm Beach Approach. What are you going to do is get you to Boca Raton Airport." Harrison responds, "I am not a pilot. My screens are black." "No problem. I want you to make a shallow turn to the north and hold steady at 3,000 feet. Morgan and the other controllers follow the Cessna on their radar screens as it turns slightly to the north on a heading for the airport at Boca Raton. Morgan radios Harrison. "That's great. You look good." Then because he knows it's important to keep in radio contact with a trainee pilot, he adds reassuringly, "Don't worry. I'm here for you." Standard practice in aviation emergency is to get the plane on the ground as soon as possible. In this case, that would mean landing at the Boca Raton Airport. But Boca Raton is a congested area, and the airport has only one runway. So Morgan decides to reroute Harrison farther north to the larger Palm Beach International Airport, with its three massive 10,000-foot-long runways and a host of emergency services. Maintain your height of 3,000 and start a shallow turn to the right. Shallow turns are the key. Too steep a turn and an untrained flyer could cause the plane to spiral into the ground. As soon as Morgan radios the change, the Palm Beach International Airport staffers swing into action. Air traffic controllers man the radios, stop all departures at the airport, and place incomplete flights into holding patterns. Emergency responders are ordered into position along the runway, and all vehicles and planes are moved away from the airport's three runways. Harrison and Frank are glued to their headsets. listening to Morgan's instructions, Frank scans the ground for familiar landmarks. He sees the I-95 freeway and nudges Harrison. They follow it north to Palm Beach International Airport. And as they do so, Harrison practices control of the Cessna's altitude, pushing the yoke forward to descend a bit and pulling it back to go up again. He also makes some small turns to the right and to the left. The plane is now about 6 miles south of the Palm Beach Airport. "You should see the airport straight ahead," Morgan tells Harrison. "I want you to start descending to 2,000 feet. As Harrison descends, Morgan grows concerned that Harrison is still flying too fast for a safe landing. He's also worried about 28-mile-per-hour crosswind swirling across the runway, ouch, which could easily force a small plane off course on landing. Morgan tells him to make a slight turn to the west. "We're going to bring you out to the west and give you more time to get lower and perfectly lined up on the runway," he says. Harrison follows each of Morgan's instructions and is now turning the plane back to the airport to make his approach to the massive runway 10 left. 10L, they call it. That means it's a northbound runway, 10 degrees off-center. "Let's slow you down," says Morgan. "See that black throttle control in front of you? Pull that back a little bit. Keep your speed above 110 knots. Harrison throttle backs and lines up the runway, which is 3 miles away. The radar room is quiet. Everyone's eyes are glued to the radar screens watching this final approach. "Your speed looks fine," Morgan tells Harrison. "As you get closer, the runway will get wider. And once it gets really wide, I want you to pull the power back to you and also pull back on the controls. Hey, I don't know how to use the brakes. What do I do when I land?" "When you get to the ground, just put your feet on top of the pedals and apply a little bit of pressure," Morgan quickly says. "Gentle. Be very gentle when you press on the pedals." What he doesn't mention is that putting too much pressure on the brakes too early can blow a tire, causing Harrison to lose control of the plane, possibly crashing on the runway. As the Cessna nears the airport, Morgan reads out the plane's altitude to Harrison. 600 feet, 500 feet, 400 feet, you're doing great. Harrison, now 1 mile from landing, descends to 300 feet and is on target to land on runway 10 left. The airport's radar cannot pick up planes under 300 feet. And November 333 Lima Delta disappears from Morgan's screen. "Are you still there?" Morgan shouts. 10 seconds of torturous silence follow. Morgan swallows deeply as he and other controllers in the blacked-out radar room stare at the blank radar screens. 3 seconds, 4 seconds, 5 seconds, 6 seconds, nothing. 7 seconds, 8 seconds, 9 seconds. Then the room's loudspeaker crackles to life. It's Harrison. "I'm on the ground. How do I stop this thing?" Morgan hits the radio button. "Use the toe brakes, nicely and gently." Harrison, still barefoot, presses the tops of the pedals gently and brings the plane to a stop, smack dab in the middle of the runway, 25 minutes after taking the controls. The radar room erupts in cheers. Exhausted but flush with adrenaline, Morgan stands and blinks back tears. Harrison, feeling comfortable to plane controls, radios Morgan. "Hey, do you want me to taxi to sing off the runway?" Morgan chuckles. "Amazing," he says to himself. "This guy is amazing." Editor's note. Ambulance rushed Ken Allen to the nearby Palm Beach Gardens Medical Center, where he was diagnosed with an aortic dissection, a tear in the inner layer of the aorta that was often fatal. Doctors operated immediately, and he's expected to make a full recovery. As a pilot, I know that that's pretty amazing to have that happen and be able to successfully get the plane down. The one thing that was a plus, that plane does have fixed landing gear, so he didn't have to worry about getting the landing gear down. And now I have one little thing to read before we end the Reader's Digest portion of this program, since that is the end of the January Reader's Digest. And that is the Queen of Our Quips. This is all in a day's work. Queen Elizabeth's former bodyguard, Richard Dick Griffin, told Sky News about the time he and the Queen ran into two American hikers while strolling in the hills of Scotland. The Americans had no clue whom they were speaking to and proceeded to regale them with all the places in Great Britain they'd visited. Then one of the men asked the kindly elderly lady, a.k.a. the Queen, where she lived. "Oh, I live in London," she said, "but I've got a holiday home just on the other side of the hills." "And how often have you been coming up here?" "Since I was a little girl, so over 80 years. "Oh, then you must have met the Queen." Gesturing to Griffin, the Queen said, "Well, I haven't, but Dick here meets her regularly." And since I have now run out of Reader's Digest for this particular month, let's go ahead and go back to Consumer Reports and finish up the program with that. Savvy shopper, the truth about those super pricey hair dryers. If you wondered whether the expensive hair dryers you've seen are worth the price, $430 for the Dyson Supersonic, you're not alone. CR's testers did too. How could good these luxury models be? Pretty darn good, it turns out. All of them dried our reviewers' hair fast, thanks to their high-wattage motors and smooth ionic technology. They all have multiple heat and speed settings and come with a variety of attachments, and all have two-year warranties. The best in our at-home tests was also the most expensive. The $430 Dyson dried hair the quickest, boasted the most attachments, and was also the quietest model. Most important, it tamed frizzy hair like a champ, even those wiry grays. One reviewer called the Dyson a revelation when it came to styling her bangs. Another said, it dries my hair quickly, which is important to me because my hair is down to my waist and I can't hold a hairdryer for long. If these reviewers have you wondering whether a Dyson or another pricey dryer shown here can work a miracle with your hair, head to a local hair salon first to see whether you can try out theirs. And check the return policy and warranty before you buy, so that you can get your money back if you don't think the dryer is worth the price. Here's what our reviewers, people with different hair types and lengths, said about three hair dryers. The top performer was the Dyson Supersonic at $430. It has three heat settings, three speed settings, and five attachments. Our reviewers loved the tools included, especially the styling concentrator and the general hair attachment. Dyson also offers extensive customer support. Try out the dryer and tools at a dryer Dyson store and learn styling techniques with a virtual appointment at Dyson.com. And it's really kind of a neat thing. The dryer almost looks like a hammer. It's got a very small head and a very long handle. The less expensive runner-up was the Drybar Buttercup, which looks like a standard hair dryer, at $200. It has three hair settings, two speed settings, and two attachments. It costs far less than the Dyson and dries nearly as well, but it's a little heavier and louder and comes with fewer attachments. And good for adding volume is a GHD Helios at $280. It's got a heat settings of two, speed settings of two, and attachments has just had one attachment. This model dried hair quickly and created lots of volume, but it also felt top-heavy, and the replacement of the buttons on the handle is awkward. And by the way, that also looks like the old standard hair dryer. Winter smarts stop rodents from ruining your car. In colder months, it's not uncommon for mice, rats, and other rodents to take up residence in cars where they chew on wiring, hoses, and other critical parts that can cost thousands to repair or replace. SimCR staffers have encountered engine intakes clogged with acorns and air conditioning ducts blocked by nests. Here's how to keep these pests out of your car. Park in a sealed garage if possible and keep the doors and windows closed. Look for gaps around the garage windows and doors where rodents can sneak in. Replace garage weather stripping as needed to keep it tightly sealed. Keep nesting materials like newspapers, cardboard, rags, and patio furniture and cushions out of your garage. Don't park near trash bins, and don't store food waste trash cans in the garage. Keep your car's interior free from food wrappers. Their scent can draw rodents. Start your car regularly, even if you're not driving it. Place mothballs, about $10 for a small box, under the hood to deter rodents. That's interesting. Try putting rodent deterrent tape around wires. It's treated with super spicy capsaicin. Honda offers this type of tape, part number 4019-2317, in a 20-meter roll. Consider a specialized vehicle rodent spray, and it's rodent vehicle protection, under your hood. Check instructions. It may need to be reapplied frequently. Over the winter, keep checking for signs of rodent incursion, like droppings, chewed wire, and gathered nesting materials. If you find evidence of chewed wire coatings, with the inner wire exposed, the car may not be safe to drive. Have a pro come to you, whether by calling AAA, your local shop, or mobile mechanics such as those available through yourmechanic.com. Countertop intelligence, your guide to better leftovers. Microwave, air fryer, toaster oven. Which of these devices does the best job of reviving your leftovers? According to our food expert, it depends on what exactly you're trying to restore to its former glory. Read on for the methods that work best for different leftovers and a few genius reheating tips. For safer leftovers, refrigerated cooked food within 2 hours of making or heating it up. Cooked foods left at room temperature for longer may grow dangerous bacteria. For rice, soup, use the microwave. Microwaves excel at reheating high moisture foods, but it's important to add even more moisture before you place the food on the turntable. For example, a bit of water sprinkled on leftover rice can prevent it from drying out too much when it's being reheated. Steam is the key to making rice fluffy again, says CR's Peter Santatace. For rice, break up any large clumps, sprinkle with about 1 to 2 teaspoons of water per cup of rice, or cover with a wet paper towel. In a microwave-safe dish, heat on high for 1 to 2 minutes. For soup, cover the bowl with a microwave-safe plastic wrap and poke a few holes in it. Make sure the plastic doesn't touch the actual food. Use the reheat mode. Stir the soup to even out the temperature. For pizza, fries, use the air fryer. Air fryers, like the hydrated Gourmilla, help foods that start out with a crunch region, that Christmas on the outside by circulating hot air around the food on all sides. At the same time, it will still keep moisture inside, which means that inside of the fries will still be pillowy when you bite in, says C.R. Tanya Christian. For pizza, place your pizza slices on the frying plate inside the air fryer basket. Set the temperature to 360 degrees Fahrenheit, then air fry for 4 to 6 minutes or until you see the cheese is bubbling. For fries, place them directly into the air fryer basket and lightly spritz with olive oil. Then use the air fry setting for 5 minutes. For meat and lasagna, use the toaster oven. When heating meats on the bone like poultry, we suggest a toaster oven over a microwave because microwaves can have cold spots, so some parts may not heat up enough to kill off bacteria. As for casserole dishes like lasagna, that's your toaster's oven job, says C.R.'s Christian. It should evenly heat the layers and crisp up the edges nicely. For meat, on an oven-safe tray, add a little gravy or sauce and cover with aluminum foil. Bake at 300 degrees Fahrenheit or use the convection reheat mode if you have one. Check the meat with a thermometer. For lasagna, place it in a Pyrex dish and cover the top with the aluminum foil. Bake or reheat on 375 degrees for 15 to 20 minutes or until the insides are bubbling. Tech update. What to do about digital cookies? You go to a new website and a box pops up asking to accept cookies, or in some cases, choose your cookie preferences. You may be wondering whether to say yes to these digital tools, which are tiny blocks of text that a website stores on your computer, phone, or tablet with a unique identifier for each use. It's not the end of the world, but I just as soon not have dozens of companies tracking every website I go to, says Justin Brookman, Director of Technology Policy at CR. Cookies aren't the only way that data brokers check you, but they're the primary way online. Some cookies are pretty innocuous and are used primarily to help a website function properly or perhaps to keep you logged in or remember what products you previously put in your cart. But companies and website developers now also insert cookies from third parties such as Google and Meta, Facebook's parent company. These tech companies use cookies to keep an eye on what you do in a wide variety of places online, and often to serve you targeted advertisements or other websites on social media. CR's Brookman says this is an invasion of privacy. To maintain your privacy, the simplest and most effective approach may be to installing what's called a tracker blocker or ad blocker such as Disconnect, Privacy Badger, or uBlock Origin. These tools can stop websites from sharing information about you. Then you don't have to worry about every website's cookies, says Brookman. One downside, some websites may require you to disable your tracker temporarily to use the site, a decision you can make on a case-by-case basis. You can also accept only those cookies that a website requires for its functionality, which may be called something akin to strictly necessary cookies. Sites tend to let you turn off other categories without consequences, like blocking your access, Brookman says. But doing this kind of picking and choosing can be a time-consuming, and it's not even guaranteed to work all the time. One Consumer Reports writer discovered that some websites tracked him even after he said no to cookies. And it shows the different settings here. We have one that says, we use cookies. To learn more, please visit our privacy policy. And you have an accept or preference place to check. Another one says, cookie settings. Strictly necessary, performance, targeting, unclassified, accept all. And then it has a place for show details. And another, then the third says, by continuing to use our website, you consent to use all of our cookies. And there's only one check place, accept all. And there's a plain one that says, accept all cookies, yes or no. The better deal, luxury SUVs. And we have an Acura MDX, which is priced at $55,000, and we have a Hyundai Palisade priced at $48,700. The higher price Acura goes anywhere from $49,000 all the way up to $72,000, almost $73,000. And the better price on the Hyundai is from 35,000 to 51,000. The 3-row Acura MDX has a potent powertrain and a well-finished cabin, but its infotainment system is distracting. It requires premium gas, and you need to get at least the tech level in order to have common luxe features. The well-equipped Hyundai Palisade Limited costs substantially less than the Acura, with an easy-to-use infotainment system and abundant pampering features. It also has 1 mile per gallon better fuel economy at 21 miles per gallon overall and uses regular gas, which will provide you with definite long-term savings. And the Hyundai scored 80 on their ratings, while the Acura only scored 74. Interesting. Get clean floors the easy way. We ask our CR readers what their least favorite chore was. Among those hated, cleaning floors. We gladly get that, but we also offer some ways to ease your pain. Check out the tricks and tools we tried and tested below. Even just one or two of these helpers can make a big difference when cleaning your dirtiest floors. Another thing we hate is dusting. After all, the Bible says we're all going to return to dust, and I'm always afraid I might be throwing away a relative. That was a joke, folks. For dusty corners, Libman Precision Angled Broom at $25. The brush of an angled broom is great for pulling dirt out of tough corners. Hold the broom to one side and sweep away from you. Skip the dustpan, which can leave lines of dust where the lips of the pan meets the floor. Our pros say it's quicker to cook up the sweepings with a cordless vacuum. For carpets, the Upright Hoover Wind Tunnel Max at $180. For carpet cleaning, upright backs have an edge over canisters. More of the weight sits over the power brush, so you can push it down into the carpet pile to suck up debris caught inside. It's best to go over carpet slowly and more than once, which helps the vacuum lift more embedded dirt. For tile floors, the Bissell Power Fresh Slim Steam Mop, $150. This Bissell Steam Mop offers an easier and less messy way to scrub tile than a squeeze mop. Press a button as you move the mop around, and the Bissell will steam clean the floor, loosing dirt for the mop to grab. As the steam evaporates, you'll have streak-free floors. And I assume it has an extension cord. It does, yes. For stairs and bare floors, Tenco Pure X1 Stick Vacuum at $230. Lightweight cordless stick vacs like this 5-pound Tenco are a convenient alternative to full-size vacuums when cleaning stairs, saving you from lugging a canister. The best can be just as effective on bare floors as a full-size model. The Tenco runs for an average of 27 minutes without a single charge. For entryways, the Rubcal Herribone Coir Doormat. Doormats made of coir, C-O-I-R, a naturally tough fiber from coconut husks, doubles as a boot scraper and trap dirt in a mat to keep more dirt out of your home. Plus, this metal frame core rubber cowl herringbone mat is easy to clean itself. Simply shake it out or vacuum it. That's kind of nice for $35. And we have some recalls to do. Kia. Kia is recalling 69,000 2021 and 2022 Sorento and 2021-2023 K5 vehicles because the electric oil pump may experience an internal fault, which could result in a complete loss of dry power, increasing the risk of a crash. What to do? Bring the vehicle to a dealership. Technicians will inspect and replace the transmission as necessary and update the transmission control unit software, all free of charge. Owners will be notified by mail, but can also call Kia Customer Service at 800-333-4542 for details. Kia's number for this recall is SC250. Pine Sol Cleaners. Clorox is recalling about 37 million Pine Sol scented multi-surface cleaners in Lavender Clean, Sparkling Wave, and Lemon Fresh Scents. Clorox Pro Pine Sol All-Purpose Cleaners in Lavender Clean, Sparkling Wave, Lemon Fresh, and Orange Energy Scents. And Clorox Professional Pine Sol Lemon Fresh Cleaners because they may contain bacteria, including Pseudomonas or Aureguginosa, an environmental organism found widely in soil and water. People with weakened immune systems or external medical devices who are exposed to Pseudomonas there's about 18 letters in each of these things, Aureguginosa, face a risk of serious infection that may require medical treatment. The bacteria can enter the body if inhaled through the eyes or through a break in the skin. The cleaners are sold online at Amazon and additional retailer websites at BJ's, Dollar General, Dollar Tree, Home Depot, Kroger, Lowe's, Publix, Sam's Club, Target, Walmart, and other major retailers nationwide for $2.50 to $12.50. What to do? Stop using the cleaner if it has a date code printed on the bottle beginning with A4 and followed by a five-digit number less than 22,249. Take a picture of the 12-digit UPC code and the date code. Dispose of the product in its container with the household trash and call Pine Sol at 855-378-4982 or go to thepinesolrecall.com to get a full refund of the purchase price with receipt or with the manufacturer's suggested retail price without receipt. Tolaru Shotch Cabinet Latches. North State Industries is recalling 103,000 Tolaru rotating cabinet latches because the latching button can dislodge and detach from the cabinet latches, posing a choking hazard to young children. The latches were sold at Buy Baby, Walmart, and other stores nationwide and online at northstateindustries.com and other websites from November 2019 through August 2022 for $5 to $10. What to do? Stop using the cabinet latches. Contact North States Industries at 888-243-8350 to get a refund. You will be asked to send photos of the product and to confirm that you have destroyed or disposed of the latches. Upon receipt of the photos and confirmation, you will be issued a refund of $5.50 or the purchase price indicated on the receipt, if available. Anchier e-bikes. Interesting, I was just looking at one of these this past weekend. Anchier is recalling about 22,000 e-bikes with a water bottle-shaped cylindrical lithium-ion battery because the battery can ignite, explode, or spark, posing fire and burn hazards. The e-bikes were sold online at AliExpress, that's A-L-I-E-X-P-R-E-S-S, .com, Amazon, Anchier Shop, eBay, .com, Newegg.com, Overstock.com, Rakuten.com, Sears.com, Walmart.com, and Wish.com from January 2016 through June 2022 for $280 to $930. What to do? Stop using the e-bike and call Anchier at 888-661-1330 or go to Anchier Shop Recalls to get a free replacement battery and battery mount. Hyperjuice USB-C chargers and USB-C battery packs. Hyper Products is recalling about 18,000 Hyperjuice stackable GAN USB / chargers and 13,700 Hyperjuice 130-watt USB-C battery packs because they can overheat, posing a fire hazard. The chargers were sold at B&H Photo Video stores in New York and at bhphotovideo.com and online at hypershop.com, indiegogo.com, and kickstarter.com from October 2020 through August of 2022 for $45 to $59 for the 65-watt and $58 to $84 for the 100-watt. The battery packs were sold at B&H Photo Video stores in New York and at bpphoto.com and online at Hypershop, Indigo, and Kickstarter from October 2018 through April 2022 from $122 to $158. Stop using the device and call Hyper Products at 866-203-5570. Go to hypershot.com and click on Recalls to get a store credit for the purchase price. Last week, we did a time traveler thing through the Consumer Reports about coffee. And today, we're going to look at a product update. Top coffee makers from our tests. We've served the best brewers for different coffee drinkers, plus tips and accessories to help you with your coffee-making skills. And they have a budget pod, they have a best for a great cup of joe, and they have top all-in-one option. And we'll look at all of these. If you get your AM fix from a coffee shop, you may have noticed that the cost of that cup have risen in the past year. No surprise there. In these inflationary times, it makes sense to try some cash by brewing your Joe at home. The good news, the latest coffee makers can help you make drinks that taste just as good as or even better than what your favorite barista is serving up. Our rating starting on page 22, which we'll look at, will help you find a top-tier coffee maker for as little as $25, along with those that have built-in grinders and milk frothers that make it a breeze to brew coffee just the way you like it. Read on to see the coffee makers that work best for the different types of coffee drinkers, as well as their accessories that will elevate your coffee drinking experience. Find the right coffee maker that's right for you. There's a wide variety of coffee makers out there with features that include built-in grinders for that fresh ground taste, self-serve reservoirs for a satisfied crowd, and dedicated milk frothers for specialty drinks. Here are lab-tested favorites. For a great cup of joe, if you like your coffee in its simplest form, you want a straightforward, easy-to-use drip coffee maker that yields a tasty brew each morning. These Kuzinark and Hamlin & Beach brewers are strong performers in our tests and easy to use and clean. They're programmable, so you can set them to start brewing before you head to the kitchen, but only Kuzinart lets you adjust brew strength to your personal taste. The best, the Kuzinart Perf Temp 14 Cup Programmable DCC 3200 for $100. The budget pick is the Hamilton Beach 12 Cup Programmable 49465R at $25. That scored an 83. The Kuzinart scored an 87. For K-Cup convenience, pod coffee makers are the choice of 31% of Americans, according to a 2022 survey of 1,592 respondents by Drive Research. The best models brew quickly in about a minute, with consistent size and temperature between cups. Our picks below work with disposable K-Cups and their own reusable pods. K-Cups are the most popular pod types, but if you prefer Nespresso pods, you can see our ratings on page 23 for the best coffee makers that use them. And the best one, which is the Kuzinart Premium Single Serve Brewer for $150, scored an 80. It was a nice-looking machine, too. The budget pick is the Keurig Mini Plus at 110, and that has a score of 68. Buy your pods in bulk. A box of 22 pods of Pete's Coffee French Dark Roast at Target cost about $18. Or 81 cents per pod. A pod of 60 pods at the same Pete's Coffee at Costco costs $40 or 60 cents per pod. That's a savings of 15 cents per cup. To save even more, switch to reusable coffee pod filters. Just make sure they're compatible with your brewer. They use regular ground coffee and can be emptied, rinsed, and reused, making them better for both your wallet and the planet. They're also kind of a pain, I'll tell you that much, if you've tried to use them before. For that whole bean taste, if you love coffee made from freshly ground beans and hate extra machinery like a grinder taking up space on your countertop, look for a grinder brew coffee maker which features a built-in grinder that deposits fresh grounds right into the brew basket. A more expensive option features a burr grinder, which produces a more uniform grind for arguably an even better cup of coffee. Of course, the best is Kuzinart, the next generation burr grind and brew 12-cup GGB 800 at $200. The budget pick is the Black & Tigger Mill & Brew, which scored a 67, and it was $70, and that's only 5 points less than the Kuzinart. Get whole beans you can grind at home. Grinding whole coffee beans before each brew will yield the most flavorful coffee. The grind side also matters. Fine grinds are a must for espresso. Medium grinds are ideal for drip coffee and coarse grinds are best for cold brew and French press coffee. If you're in the market for a coffee grinder, we can look at some lines we've got below. For molded cups without a carafe, if you like single-serve convenience but aren't a fan of pricey pods, you might want to consider a self-serve coffee maker. These machines brew up to 12 cups at once and keep the coffee hot throughout the day in an internal reservoir. There's no hot plate to burn your brew or carafe to wash. Instead, the coffee is dispensed cup by cup through a self-serve mechanism. The Kuzinart Coffee on Demand DC 3000 for $120 scored a 77. The budget pick, the Hamilton Beach Brew Station Summit 4846, cost for $70. It's a nice looking machine. For fancier drinks, love lattes? Bring the coffee house experience home in an all-in-one coffee maker, a dual coffee maker, and espresso maker. All-in-one machines come in drip and pod versions and usually feature a built-in whisk milk frother. Dual coffee and espresso machines brew drip coffee and espresso and have wands for frothing. A key difference, all-in-one brewers use concentrated coffee lattes while dual brewers use espresso. The top all-in-one option is the Ninja Specialty at $170. Budget all-in-one option is the current K-Latte Single Serve K96 at $90. The budget dual coffee espresso machines, the DeLongo Combi BCO 430 at $220. And that's kind of a fancy-looking machine. Wow. And best pod espresso is Nespresso DeLonghi Latissima, one espresso maker, EN500BW at $400. Use whole milk for frothing. According to Michael Phillips, Director of Coffee Culture at Blue Bottle Coffee, whole milk produces a tight knit foam that you can still pour. It beats out half and half as well as milk with less than fat, like 2% of skim. As for plant-based milks, oat milk has become a popular alternative thanks to its complementary flavor and its high-quality foam, surpassing other alternative milks like soy or almond. Upgrade your coffee craft. The right accessories can elevate your morning coffee routine, making your brew more flavorful and keeping it hotter longer. How about a coffee grinder? Coffee grinders use blades to chop up the beans or burrs to crush them. Coffee experts prefer the latter because it maximizes flavor. The OXO grinder gets a score of very good for grinding fine, medium, and coarse grounds. And it's the OXO Brew Conoco Burr Coffee Grinder at $100, scored a 76. For a milk frother, unlike the steam wand of most espresso machines, these frothers use heat in a motorized whisk, not steam, to whisk milk into a silky smooth foam. Our editors evaluated this model in their kitchens and found it froths a variety of milks and cleans up easily. The instant milk frother at $40. The electric kettle. While electric kettles are usually reserved for tea, they're also handy too for pour-over coffee and even instant coffee. The secure kettle can boil a full pot of water in about 7 minutes and keep it warm for over an hour. Secure electric kettle, SWK 1701 DB, $30. Oh, I might have to get one of those. I like my tea. Travel mug. Once you've perfected your morning coffee, you need the right travel mug to keep it hot throughout the day. Our bit can do that for just over 6 hours based on our lab evaluation. That's the Takeya Traveler at 17 ounce at $21, and it scored a 5 out of 5 on the scores. And let's take a look at some of the rankings. The drip coffee makers with carafe. Dip, sour, power, dip, pour, or sip are coffee maker ratings factors in brewing performance, convenient features, and use of each for both drip bomb machines. Okay, I'm not going to read them all here, but let's do the top, let's see, the 2, 4, 10. The top 10 of drip coffee makers with a carafe are the Cuisinart DCT20 touchscreen, $130. The Zarushi Fresh View Plus 12 cup for $200. The Cuisinart Perfect Temp 14 cup programmable at $100. The Cuisinart Programmable DC4000 at $120. The Ninja 12-cup programmable CE201 at $80. The Hamilton Beach 12-cup programmable $496R actually was only $25. That's amazing. The Bun HP Heat Brew Programmable is $140. The Ninja Lee Specialty CM401 is $170. The Bella Pro Series at $80. The Cuisinart Brew Central DC1200 at $100. And there are several others. Self-drip coffee makers, the Cuisinart Coffee on Demand DC3000 and at $120, and the Hamilton Teach Brew Station Summer at $70. The grind and brew coffee makers, the Cuisinart Next Generation Burr Grind and Brew at $200. The Breville Grind Control BDC650 is $350. The Black & Decker Mill and Brew is $70. The Capresso Coffee Team TS465 is $195. The Cuisinart Coffee Center Grind and Brew Plus SS GB1 is $230. And the Hamilton Beach Programmable Grind and Brew is $100. The Dual Coffee Espresso Maker, the DeLonghi Combi BCO430 at $220. And that's got some weird negative ratings, so very bad reliability. Pod Coffee Makers. How about the Nespresso NZ Mini at $170? Nespresso by DeLonghi CTIZ at $255. And Nespresso DeLonghi Latissime One Espresso Maker at $400. And then we get to the single for brewer, the Cuisinart Premium Single Serve, the Brim Triple B. Those are both $150. The Keurig Duo K Duo Plus 5200 at $200. Nespresso Vertitude Plus at $200. Nespresso DeLonghi ENV120 at $230. The Cuisinart Coffee Center SS15 at $200. And those are the top ones. Store brands we love and a few if we don't. Is Walmart's ketchup just as tasty for less cash as Heinz? Is Costco yogurt as creamy as Chobani? Here's how 70 grocery store brands compare with the iconic staples you've bought for years. Loyal to name brand foods can run deep. 43% of Americans buy less pricey knockoffs than well-known brands only occasionally or not at all, according to a September 2022 CR nationally representative survey of 2519 U.S. adults. But our latest test revealed that they're making a big mistake by leaving store brands on the shelf. A CR panel of expert tasters blind-tested brand-name versions of 10 pantry staples: ketchup, frozen organic mixed vegetables, ranch dressing, whole wheat bread, peanut butter, plain non-fat Greek yogurt, mixed nuts, maple syrup, condensed chicken noodle soup, and honey Cheerios like cereal, alongside their store brand counterparts. The products were from 9 stores: Aldi, BJ's, Costco, Dollar General, Kroger, Target, Trader Joe's, Walmart, and Whole Foods. Some stores didn't have their own version of every name brand product. Costco doesn't have its own ketchup, for example. What CR found is that many store brands taste as good or even better than the well-known brands. Of the 70 store brand products in our test, 76 were tasted just as good as the name brand, says Amy Keating, RD, who led the testing. Just as important, the good taste came at a great price. We compared the average amount we paid for all of the products and found that the store brand typically costs 5 to 72% less per serving than name brand. For example, the house brand ketchup sold at Aldi, Target, and Walmart were judged closely in favor of Heinz, but cost about 70% less. In the salad dressing category, we found that Kroger Creamy Ranch dressing tasted better than Hidden Valley's ranch and was about half the price. There were some store brands that did measure up taste-wise to the name brand, although most were still cheaper. And in a few cases, the store brand actually cost more. So read on for all the intel on the brands you enjoy most and even paying a lot less. And I will kind of testify to this myself. I was buying some Worcestershire sauce, and rather than spend an extra buck for Reed and Perrin, I got some store brand, and it sucks. It's nowhere near as thick. It doesn't have the same taste. So I'm afraid I'm going to throw that one away and go ahead and buy myself some Lee and Perrin's Worcestershire sauce. Heinz tomato ketchup, 33 cents cost per one-quarter cup of serving. And they have a whole list of them here. There's Aldi Berman's tomato ketchup at 9 cents a serving, Target Market Pantry at tomato ketchup at 9 cents, Dollar General Clover Valley at 10 cents, Walmart Great Value tomato ketchup at 10 cents, Kroger Original tomato ketchup at 13, and Whole Foods tomato ketchup at 15 cents, Trader Joe's at organic ketchup at 20 cents, and Amazon Happy Belly tomato ketchup at 21 cents. The iconic Heinz ketchup, by far the best-selling brand of ketchup in the U.S., is a unique blend of tangy, sweet, and salty tomato flavors seasoned with onion and other spices. The Alder and Kroger's ketchups were a bit less tangy and didn't have as much seasoning. Walmart's version was mildly seasoned with a dominant tomato flavor. Our testers thought these three, along with the versions from Dollar General and Target, tasted very good. And because they'll save you 62 to 72% per serving, a Heinz fan might be just as happy with any of them. The ketchups from Trader Joe's and Whole Foods were also good, but tasted markedly different. Sorry about that, I was just attacked by a frog in my throat. Unlike Heinz, both had strong flavors of brown spices, such as allspice and cloves, and tasted more like a cross between ketchup and Worcestershire sauce. Most of the store brands had 20 to 30 milligrams less sodium than 180 milligrams in a tablespoon of Heinz, but a similar amount of added sugars as the name brand ketchup. Frozen mixed vegetables. Over 8 in 10 of our people in our survey who buy frozen vegetables said they had purchased a store brand, more than any other food we ask about. It looks like that's a good move. All of the organic frozen veggies we tested were at least as good as those from the national brand Cascadium Farms. They also offer more variety, too, adding green beans to carrots, corn, and peas. You get from the name brand, and most of them casually cost significantly less. The veggies from Whole Foods tasted better than the name brand, with a slightly crisp texture and nice sweetness to the corn and peas, but they actually cost more. Kroger's veggies were similar in quality to Whole Foods, but tasted a bit fresher than typical frozen veggies and cost 21% less than the name brand. Cascadian Farms organic mixed vegetables at $1.09 for a one-cup serving. Trader Joe's organic foursome vegetable medley cost 53 cents. That's the best price. Costco Kirkland Signature organic mixed vegetables cost 50 cents, 7 cents. Aldi Simply Nature organic mixed vegetables, 58 cents. BJ's Wesley Farm organic mixed vegetables were 60 cents. The top pick was Kroger's Simple Truth organic mixed vegetables at 86 cents. And Target Good and Gather organic steam and bag mixed vegetables. Whole Foods, that was 96 cents. Whole Foods 365 organic mixed vegetables was $1.20, so that's even more expensive. How about ranch dressing? Tangy buttermilk, oil and dill, onion, garlic, black pepper flavor. Hidden Valley is the classic ranch dressing. Kroger's version was all that, but with a decidedly cheesy vibe that our tasters thought might perk up your salad a little more for half the price. The flavor and texture of most other store brands were similar to Hidden Valley, if a little less tangy and seasoned. Whole Foods dressing was thin and had a sour flavor that overpowered the buttermilk and ranch spices. Trader Joe's version didn't taste much like ranch dressing. It had a slight mustard and relish flavors. Both Whole Foods and Trader Joe's dressing were slightly lower in fat and calories than the other dressings. All had 240 to 290 milligrams of sodium, which is a lot for 2 tablespoons. So be careful how much you add to your salad. Hidden Valley, the original ranch, is 53 cents for a quarter cup serving. The best price is the Walmart Great Value Classic Ranch dressing and dip at 21 cents. Aldi Tucson Garden ranch dressing at 24 pence. The top pick was the Kroger Creamy Ranch dressing at 25 cents a serving. Target Market Pantry ranch dressing at 25 cents and Amazon Happy Belly dressing at 30 cents. Skip the Trader Joe's Organic Ranch at 35 cents and the Whole Foods 365 Organic Ranch dressing. Whole Wheat Bread. All of the store brands we tasted on a par with established brand Nature's Own, all they had slightly different flavors and textures. Nature's Own bread is slightly chewy in most. Aldi is slightly less dense. Kroger's and Walmart's breads are less moist than Nature's Own. Kroger's Own whole wheat is a bad tad sweeter. Target's is a good choice for whole wheat lovers who prefer the airier texture of white bread. For a denser whole wheat bread, opt for Trader Joe's or Whole Foods loaves. The nutrition values vary from product to product, but all have at least 2 grams of fiber per slice, and none of them have more than 2 grams of added sugars. The Aldi, Target, and Walmart versions have at least sodium, 110 to 115 milligrams. Whole Foods Foods has the most at 170 milligrams per slice. That's not a lot, but bread is a top source of sodium in the U.S. diet because we eat so much of it. Nature's Own is the name brand, 100% whole wheat bread, 36 cents for a 2-slice serving. The best price is Target's 100% whole wheat sandwich bread, 11 cents. Walmart Great Value, 100% whole wheat bread, I have a loaf of that at home, at 13 cents. Aldi Love and Fresh, 100% whole wheat bread at 14 cents. Kroger's 100% whole wheat bread at 20 cents. Trader Joe's whole wheat bread sliced at 28 cents. And Whole Foods 365 whole wheat sandwich bread at 44 cents for 2 slices. Peanut butter. If you like to eat peanut butter from a spoon, you may be able to taste subtle difference between classy brand Skippy and a number of store brands. Aldi's and Walmart's were a bit thicker, and Kroger's tasted a touch less sweet, but all had a similar roasted peanut flavor and level of saltiness. Trader Joe's was thick and stickier and had a strong peanut flavor. On PB&J, you probably won't notice any of these variations, but BJ's and Whole Food brands are natural style, so they're thinner, a bit runny, and not as smooth. They also have 0 added sugar, so they're less sweet than the name brand, and BJ's had less roasted peanut flavor. BJ's also cost 37% more than Skippy, probably because it's organic. 2 brands we tasted did measure up, Dollar General and Target's, which had a less roasted peanut flavor. Dollar General's also tasted less fresh. The name brand they did was Skippy Peanut Butter. Wish they'd done Jif, because I use Jif. The best price was the Aldi Peanut Delight Creamy Peanut Butter. By the way, the Skippy is 41 cents before a quarter set serving. Aldi Peanut Butter Delight. Peanut Delight is 21 cents. Walmart Great Value is 21 cents. Kroger Creamer Peanut Butter is 23 cents. You should skip the Target Good and Gather at 23 cents, the Dollar General Clover Valley at 26 cents. However, Trader Joe's Creamy No-Stir Peanut Butter is 28 cents, Whole Foods 365 Creamy Butter is 38 cents, and BJ's Wellesley Farms Organic Creamy Peanut Butter is 56 cents. And Greek yogurt. Curvey found that about 4 in 10 yogurt shoppers skipped rash past store brands to seek out names like Chobani instead. But they may want to reconsider that decision. Our test has determined that most store brand yogurts are as good as Chobani, and you might not notice any difference, especially when you're enjoying them served with toppings or using them in a smoothie. The name brand was creamy and had a nice balance of dairy flavor and natural sourness. Whole Foods yogurt came out the closest to tasting like it. Whole Foods yogurt does cost 6% more, but it's organic. Most of the other brands tended to be a bit more sour than Chobani or Whole Foods yogurt, and some, Costco's and Amazon's, were slightly thicker. Skip Kroger's version unless you like a really sour yogurt. All were close nutritionally, with most having about 100 calories, 17 grams of protein, and 15% of the daily value for calcium, 1,300 milligrams per 6-ounce serving. And this is per a 1-cup serving. Chobani plain no-fat Greek yogurt is about $1.58. Sometimes you can find it on sale. Best price was Aldi Friendly Farms plain Greek non-fat yogurt at 89 cents. Target Good & Gather plain Greek non-fat yogurt was 98 cents a serving. Amazon Happy Belly plain Greek non-fat yogurt was $1.03. Costco Kirkland Signature plain organic Greek non-fat yogurt was $1.09. Kroger, which you should skip, was plain Greek non-fat yogurt was $1.38. Trader Joe's plain Greek non-fat yogurt was $1.46. And Whole Foods 365 plain yogurt organic non-fat yogurt was $1.68. Mixed nuts. The packages of all the nuts here, even the name brand Planters, had 70% or more almonds and cashews, with other types sprinkled in. For Planters, those were hazelnuts, pecans, and pistachios. The name brand was very good, but a few nuts were bitter and over-roasted. You get the tastiest assortment and save a lot of money by choosing Costco and Walmart's brand. Costco's nuts had fewer broken pieces and a nicely roasted flavor. The mix contained large cashews and macadamia halves, plus almonds, pecans, and Brazil nuts. Walmart's nuts, priced 21% below Planters, were similar but included hazelnuts instead of macadamia nuts. Trader Joe's with pecans and hazelnuts and Brazil nuts offered the same savings and had the least sodium, 20 milligrams, but also more broken pieces. Some of the nuts in the Aldi packages were bitter, and BJ's were fresh tasting. Planters Deluxe Mixed Nuts with Sea Salt for $1.27, about a half-cup serving. Costco Kirkland Signature was the best price at Extra Fandy Salted Mixed Nuts at 80 cents. You skip the Aldi Southern Grove Deluxe Mixed Nuts, Amazon Happy Belly Deluxe Mixed Nuts at 90 cents. Skip the BJ's Wellesley Farm Extra Fancy Nuts at 90 cents. Target Good & Gather Sea Salted Roasted Mixed Nuts at $1. Trader Joe's Roasted and Salted Fancy Nuts Mix at $1. Walmart Great Value Deluxe Mixed Nuts at $1. And Kroger Deluxe Mixed Nuts with Sea Salt at $1.19. And we got a bunch more, but we'll finish those next week. Now, before we close out, a couple terrible dad jokes. What do lawyers wear to court? Lawsuits. Where was King David's temple located? Beside his ear. What did one toilet say to the other? My, but you look flushed. What lights up a soccer stadium? A soccer match. What does the corn say when it gets a compliment? Aw, shucks. What's red and bad for your teeth? A brick. And what do sprinters eat before they race? Nothing. They fast. What made life more than a cat? A frog, because it croaks every day. And with that horrible close, we have run out of time for today's episode of the Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. Be sure to listen in next time. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. I'm Jim Cronin, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. So long until next week, and